and again. It tried to run away, but the woman pursued, pouring a line of lightning arrows into it, breaking it apart. One leg fell free, then a second, and finally, with a great shriek, the spider rolled over and shuddered in its death throes. And Catti Bree whirled back and shot the ground at Dahlia's feet as the stubborn woman came on. The elf warrior was holding a staff now, though, and not her flail, and she drove it down to the stone, and though she shuddered, it seemed to Catti Bree that her magical weapon had eaten the brunt of the blow. Indeed, it crackled once more with lightning energy, and Dahlia strained, it seemed, to hold on. Catti Bree had no choice, and so she let fly another stream of lightning missiles at the ground before the woman and at the woman, an explosive barrage that sent sparks flying wildly all around the center of the chamber. Catti Bree advanced, arrows flying, and Dahlia staggered under every blow, grunting and growling. Sparks flew off and dived into the primordial pit. Sparks showered the webbing, burning into the flammable material and sending spiders scurrying all around. Beyond Dahlia, through the crackling volley, Catti Bree noted the magma elemental standing tall, holding the thrashing jade spider up over its head as it stomped for the pit. She entertained the notion of bringing the elemental in against Dahlia to catch her, perhaps, and hold her, for she did not want to kill this elf woman. The elemental threw the spider into the pit and swung around to Catti Bree's call. It took a long stride at Dahlia, heading to Catti Bree's defense, but before it put its foot down to the stone, it hesitated weirdly, and seemed as if stuck in place, struggling mightily. And Catti Bree understood and winced. For in its dying fall, the jade spider had spat its webbing back at the elemental, the filaments grabbing hold well enough to tug it suddenly and violently. The elemental pitched backward over the ledge, tumbling from sight and from the battle. Catti Bree shot Dahlia again, and the elf trembled violently as the energy of the staff crackled and jerked her around. But Dahlia settled and screamed and charged, planting the pole and vaulting high, just as Catti Bree shot the stone beneath her. And Catti Bree also charged, fortunately so, for she slid down and crossed under the leaping Dahlia, and skidded up to her feet and ran off the other way, calling to the primordial, calling to her ring. She leaped atop the altar and sprang away, and felt very sickly immediately from simply contacting the foul stone. She landed and she staggered, and she cried out against a demonic voice laughing in her mind. She feared that Dahlia was coming in fast behind her, and with a staff bristling with mighty energy. She knew she had to turn around and drive the woman back with more arrows, to overload the staff if that was possible, or at least to force it from Dahlia's grasp with the sheer strength of a teeming magical energy. But she couldn't turn, and she couldn't shoot, and it was all she could do to hold on to Tolmeril. Then she stumbled to the floor. And the demon in her thoughts, the demon queen of spiders, laughed. It was too much power. She should not have been able to hold it. But she was, her hands tightly clenched on the staff, crackling lightning rolling up and down it, rolling up and down her as well. The braid atop her head danced weirdly. She watched Catti Bree's flight across the chamber, watched her stagger down to the floor, and Dahlia heard cheering in her thoughts, even as her adversary heard the laughter of the spider queen. Dahlia slowed and winced. She thought of Drizzt, and not just that last encounter on the mountainside, but of their lovemaking, of their adventuring together, of their friendship. She thought of Efren, and of how her companions, how her friends, had rescued her from him in the docked boat, and had then given her the time with him to heal their wounds. And now he was dead, her boy killed by Drow. But the memory shifted before she could complete the thought, before she could realize that the Drow had done this terrible thing to her and to her son. And instead that line of thought swerved, leaping through connections that suddenly made perfect sense to the elf warrior. Efren was dead because of Drizzt. Because Drizzt had spurned her, and he had done so because of a ghost, because of this ghost, Catti Bree, this disciple of foul Mialiki. Last notion made little sense to Dahlia, who knew little of Mialiki and cared even less, but it didn't matter. For now it all made perfect sense. Efren was dead because of Catti Bree. Everything bad in Dahlia's life was because of Catti Bree. And now she could find revenge. She charged. She planted her staff at the base of the altar stone and vaulted high into the air, screaming with unbridled glee and unbridled hatred. Catti Bree came up to her feet and ran around to meet that flying charge, and Dahlia, landing right in front of her, could have ended the fight immediately, could have released all the power stored in Kozah's needle in one mighty blast that would have melted the woman where she stood. But no, that would be too easy, too mercifully quick. Catti Bree deflected Dahlia's stabbing staff aside, then came up and across horizontally, bow held wide in both hands to block a powerful downward chop. The woman proved a decent fighter, parrying and angling her weapon appropriately to slide strikes harmlessly wide, but she was no match for Dahlia. And Catti Bree knew it. Dahlia could see it on her face. She knew she was overmatched. But she was not afraid. For a moment that puzzled Dahlia, but only for a moment. She understood that Catti Bree was buying time, and was she calling again to the primordial for help? Dahlia drove on more ferociously, pounding her weapon heavily, driving Catti Bree back with each strike. And the woman was running out of room, closing in on the wall. Dahlia increased her tempo, swatting and stabbing, rushing ahead and forcing her enemy ever backward. And when Catti Bree's back went against the wall, Dahlia swung mightily. Talmaril came across to block, but as the weapons connected, Dahlia broke her staff in half, two equal lengths joined with a strong cord. The strike had been blocked above the halfway mark of the weapon, so that top half flew back over toward Dahlia as she drove the weapon down. She was ready for that, however, and she caught it, and now stabbed freely beneath the blocking blow. Catti Bree did well to drive her bow down to mitigate the attack, but as soon as Kozah's needle touched her chest, Dahlia released a bit of its energy, enough to jolt the woman against the wall, her head cracking hard into the stone. Dahlia retracted and dropped one of the two poles then, confident that Catti Bree was too dazed to respond. She swung around in a full circuit, letting her weapon fly out to its full length and rejoining it into a single staff as she went. She came around with great speed and power and batted Talmaril from Catti Bree's hands, launching it into the remaining webbing at the corner of the chamber, just to the side of the sealed tunnel meant for Matron Xerath. Hardly slowing, Dahlia slid one hand out wide and drove the staff sidelong before her, under the chin of slumping Catti Bree, lifting her up against the wall with Kozah's needle tight against her throat. Now it was personal, Dahlia thought, and she was pleased, and so was the voice in her head. Now she could feel the woman's fear. Now she could feel the woman's pain. Now she could watch the light go out in Catti Bree.